Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. Hope everybody had a lovely Christmas. Just a couple of intimations. As you'll see, all our clubs are still off. The cafe is closed, but today, thanks to a couple of our volunteers, they're going to provide soup and tea and a cake or a biscuit for you after the service for anybody that wants to go down. There won't be any charges, but if anybody wants to make a donation, it will go towards the volunteers for the cafe. Okay, and a welcome to Robert, who's leading us in worship this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. A very warm welcome to everyone. Our call to worship this morning is a few verses from Psalm 148, which will be up on the screen now. So, Psalm 148, verses 1 to 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. Let us worship the Lord. Let us sing together from the church hymnary in the words of hymn 304, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, who by the shining of a star led the wise men to the worship of your Son, guide us by his light, that we may follow in truth and wisdom, peace and harmony. And may that selfsame star guide the nations of the earth, that the whole world may behold your glory. Holy Jesus, before your infant form, sages bowed the knee and acknowledged your lordship over all power and wisdom. Grant us, in our day and generation, a clear vision and courage, that in the light of your light, we may devote our power and potential to your service, even when that requires us to go home another way. Holy Spirit, we give thanks that by the shining of a star, you led the wise men to worship Jesus, the light of the world, the hope of the nations, the bright radiance of the Father's glory. Holy God, shine bright the star in the darkness of our lives as we confess our failings and our weaknesses. We have been heedless in our thoughts, cruel in our words, shameful in our actions. We are indifferent to a world made sad by want and wastefulness. So often we pass by on the other side when we see a neighbour in need. So often we wander the way that leads from the path of peace along paths of our own choosing, which lead to disharmony and difficulty. God of light, grant us your forgiveness and fill us with your joy. Send us out to bring others to the light through your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose words we now pray. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We continue with hymn 324, Angels from the Realms of Glory. I had a special request to pick Christmas carols this Sunday, because it's our last chance really to sing them until next year. So we continue with hymn 324, Angels from the Realms of Glory. And Neil will now read our scripture passages for us.
First reading comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6, the glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth and the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense. Second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visits the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you very much. Our next hymn is 313, "See in Yonder Manger Low." 313.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, bless thou the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Of the four gospel writers, only Matthew records the remarkable story of the Magi. It's a story with a magic all of its own. The Eastern Kings. Traditionally, there are three, though Matthew doesn't actually put a number on them. And for that matter, he doesn't say that they're all men. But traditionally, there's three wise men, dressed in their multicoloured robes, camels moving ponderously over long stretches of desert sand, the star so bright, with its long glowing tail leading them towards a humble hamlet called Bethlehem. It's an image, a story, that's imprinted in our collective minds and imaginations, and it's a staple of Christmas cards. We often wonder if the story was passed on to Matthew by someone who remembered it from the palace. Maybe it was someone who recalled the bloodshed in that miserable, fear-ridden household that was Herod's palace. Herod did not want to leave his throne to anyone, and he would have been shocked when the wise men told him that a new king had been born, and that king was not one of his family. It would have been an insult to him, the very idea that even if he did have to pass on his throne, it wasn't going to go to a relative, a son of his. You can imagine the fear that the scribes and priests must have felt when they were summoned by Herod and asked the question, where will the new king be born? And they told them the prophecy of the Messiah. It must have been shocking to Herod that a king would be born in such an out-of-the-way place such as Bethlehem, and not in Jerusalem, which was the royal centre with its palaces and government buildings. Herod then ordered his servants into a conspiracy of false hospitality. They were to treat the Magi, the wise men, as honoured guests, and to try and extract as much information from them as they could get about this new king. It's a wonderful story, and it's no wonder that Matthew records it, and it's been a blessing for millions and millions of readers and listeners throughout the centuries. The Magi had arrived in Jerusalem after months of travelling through the desert. Firstly, they go to the palace at Jerusalem, which is, after all, the place where you would expect to find a king. It's the first place that they would have thought of to look for someone of royal descent. And they gave the king, Herod, the shock of his life. And cunningly, he sends them to find this child. And when they reach Bethlehem, a tiny place, poor, run down and out of the way, I expect they must have felt a sense of disappointment, especially when they entered a humble stable. But Matthew tells us that they were overwhelmed with joy. The Greek is even stronger and tells us that they rejoiced with an extreme joy. The wise men, the Magi, see the child with his mother Mary. Mary is holding the baby on her lap as they kneel and bend to touch their foreheads to the ground in homage to the king. What would Mary have been thinking when she saw the gifts that they offered? Did she feel a premonition when she smelt the myrrh, a herb that was used for burials? Later in life, as she stood at the foot of the cross, did she remember the visit of the wise men, the gifts they had been given, and this premonition of his death? We can only guess, but we know that something remarkable happened on that day when the Far East and the Near East came together. The gifts that the Magi left the baby tell us so much, But the story itself is full of meaning for us. It has much to teach us, much for us to learn for our lives today. It teaches us as much as it did to the first readers and listeners of the Gospel of Matthew. And today there are four lessons that I would like to focus on. Firstly, the wise men were searching for truth and wisdom. They knew that the star that had appeared in the sky was no ordinary star. As astronomers or astrologists, there was little difference between the two pursuits in those days. The three of them would have been studying the stars for years, for a sign that something unique and significant was going to happen in their world. Their minds were open to new wisdom, to new truth, and more than this. They were looking for it. They were searching for truth. They were searching for wisdom. They were searching for enlightenment. They were not satisfied with what they already knew. They wanted to discover more. They wanted more knowledge. So when they saw that new star in the sky, they sensed in their hearts that it was a sign from God. It's a lesson that's often repeated in the Bible, that if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened to us. If we ask, we will receive. But how often do people, even believers, even Christians, really seek for wisdom, for new truth, for knowledge, for guidance? On Christmas morning, when the presents were opened and there were tools or toys or gadgets to be assembled, how many people actually looked at the instructions before trying to put them together? How many tried to assemble them just relying on their own knowledge or common sense, only to fail miserably? It's often a point of pride among men that they only read the instructions as the absolute last resort. The wise men gained their wisdom because they were seekers. They were looking for new things, new insights, new signs. They read the instructions and scanned the heavens for signs and wonders. And we can too. Secondly, the wise men set out in faith to find what the star pointed to. By definition, faith involves the idea of making a journey, of moving on, of risking ourselves in a new activity. Each of us has to find God for ourselves. That was Herod's mistake. He wanted the Magi to go in his place, to look for the Christ child. Only then would he come and worship the newborn king, although, as we know, he had no intention of worshipping the newborn king, but simply wanted to eliminate a potential rival. By contrast, the Magi had to travel from a foreign land in search of truth and wisdom. They didn't know where the star would lead them. They didn't know how long it would take. They didn't know what the end result for them would be. They only knew that it was important for them to follow the star wherever it went, wherever it led, wherever the ultimate destination was. It was a personal quest, and the result was the opportunity to worship the one who would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This may well be the most important truth for us in the story of the wise men. The story of faith in Jesus has to be a personal story, a personal quest. It's something that we have to do for ourselves. It's something that we have to have in our hearts. It's not enough to know all sorts of facts about Jesus Christ. A believer must encounter the wonder of God's grace for him or herself and make a personal decision to follow Jesus, to receive Jesus into our hearts as Lord. It's a decision that we must make for ourselves. No one else can make the choice for us. Faith is not inherited like family jewels, nor can it come from simply knowing what others have said about faith, about Jesus, though they, words and reading, can can't point us in the right direction. It's a bit like the difference between having read about how to make a cake and actually making one. Someone kind of memorised the recipe, know all the ingredients, know all the timings, know everything that's required to make the cake. But until they actually try and do it for themselves, they actually mix the ingredients and put them in the oven, it means very little. Thirdly, the wise men ask for help. They ask for help from other people as they search for the newborn king. Most of us try to live our lives without making any demands on others. We try to be independent. We try to stand alone and do it ourselves, to make it on our own. Sometimes this comes out of good motives. We don't want to burden others. We don't want to be a bother. We don't want to trouble other people. But often it comes from a sense of embarrassment. We don't want to look foolish or stupid or weak. When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, it seems that they lost sight of the star. They knew that they were in the right area, but they were not yet at the right spot. It's a bit like sometimes when you go driving in a new city trying to find a particular location. You can get to the right area, but sometimes you can't find the address that you're looking for. The sat-nav might be out of date. It may not have accounted for roadworks or road closures. But whatever the reason may be, we're stuck and remain stuck until we ask someone else for help. And that's exactly what the wise men did. The Bible tells us that they consulted with the people in Jerusalem. They ask where the newborn king is and how they can find him so that they can pay homage to him. And because they ask, they receive. The question is answered by people who are familiar with the scriptures and prophecies concerning the birth of the Messiah. And they take the answer and act on it and set out for Bethlehem. And when they do, once they start on the road to Bethlehem, again they see the star going before them. They see the star in the sky leading them on, and it takes them to Jesus. There are many people who can help us in our journey of faith if we are sensible enough to ask them. The question is, are we willing to ask for help when we need it, when we're in the right area, when we can't quite find the destination? Will we stop and ask for directions, for help, just like the Magi did? And fourth, the wise men accepted what God led them to and believed in it. In the story of the wise men, often much is made of what they gave to the Christ child, but consider what they, in return, received. Think about that for a minute. They set forth looking for a king, the King of Kings, in fact. And after a long and arduous journey, they end up at a simple stable in Bethlehem. There they find a carpenter and his wife and child. There are no costly treasures in the house, no purple robes, no gold rings. Nothing, in fact, to show that they are in the presence of the person that is destined to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Only the star that stood overhead the building indicated that anything special at all was going on. But the wise men accept this. There is no hint of disappointment in them, although all the outward signs, save one, are telling them that this is not the place where you're going to find a king. They accept that single sign, the sign of God that they have been following for so long, and ignore all the rest. They ignore all the outward appearances of poverty. So many of us have a hard time accepting what God has given in the form that he gives them to us. It's often because we are looking for some sort of grand gift from God, great miracles, instant healings, signs and wonders, trumpet calls, choirs of angels. We may pray to God for a special blessing, and then not act like we actually believe in God. We may turn away someone who's looking for a meal. We may be annoyed when a neighbour drops in unannounced. Or we might be irritated when a client or a customer turns up just before we're closing for the day. We have this idea in our minds that God does not, or perhaps should not, appear to us in the ordinary things of our lives. We don't expect God to show up when we're at work in the kitchen, doing the hoovering, washing the dishes, or pottering about in the garden, or in our ordinary day-to-day professions. We expect God to appear in a grand and elaborate fashion. It can also be difficult for us to understand God's answers to our questions. It can be difficult for us to understand that they can be found in a 2,000-year-old book or in the lips of those who we talk to, whether we know them or don't know them. Often, a casual word or sentence from someone that we bump into can be a message from God. God speaks to us in the most unexpected ways. The wisdom of the wise men was, and is simply this, they looked for wisdom. They were willing to journey in faith to personally discover what God was doing. They weren't afraid to ask for help along that way. And finally, they accepted what they found, even though it was plainly dressed, and they believed in it. It's simple, really. But wisdom often is simple. Simple, but when used as the Magi, as the wise men used it, that can lead us to God. And may God bless us all with that kind of wisdom. Amen. Hymn 326, As with Gladness, Men of Old. We worship God in the offering. The Magi brought gifts to the infant Jesus, gifts that were full of meaning: gold for a king, incense for priests, myrrh for sacrifice. We know from Christmas that there is joy not only in receiving gifts, but in giving, the choosing, the delight in the faces that receive, and in the love that the gift embodies. In the church, we give of our time, our talents, and our money. We give with love and carefully consider the needs that these gifts meet, so we give thanks for all that is given. Let us pray. God of every good gift, we thank you for the gifts of time, talent and treasure given here in this place. We thank you for the gifts seen and unseen, given in church or direct to the bank. We thank you too for the quiet gifts of love, solidarity and friendship, the background gifts of talents, the financial gifts that help sustain our life together, and ask that you use all these gifts to be signs of your coming kingdom. Amen. And now let us offer up our prayers for the world. Let us again pray. O God of justice and righteousness, we pray for your broken world, for those where Christmas has not been a time of joy, for those affected by war and violence. O God of peace, we give thanks for our freedom, and for those who work for peace, and for those who keep us safe. O Lord, hear our prayer. O God of compassion, we pray for all those who have lost their homes, for refugees and asylum seekers, for the homeless of our own land. We pray for those organisations who open their doors and extend arms of welcome. O God of tenderness and love, we remember those who are affected by illness of body or mind. We pray too for the bereaved, especially for those spending a first Christmas without a loved one. We give thanks and praise for those whom we love. O Lord, hear our prayer. O Heavenly Father, you who know what it's like to lose a child, we thank you for Jesus, for all that he brought into the world. Help us to remember that the baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas became the man who died on the cross at Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. O Lord, hear our prayer. O God of mission, we pray for your church. We pray for boldness and openness of heart to respond to your Spirit's calling. We give thanks for the life of your church, and we pray for those hearing the Christmas story for the first time. O Lord, hear our prayer. O God incarnate, who became as we are, we give thanks for the gift of your Son Jesus as we recall and celebrate the story of his birth. And we pray for ourselves and our journeys of faith. O Lord, hear our prayer. Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who was born, lived our common life and died for us, and was raised to life at the resurrection. All this we ask in your name. Amen. We bring our worship to a close with hymn 322, Good Christians All Rejoice. Hymn 322. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth, and evermore.